Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so let it be. I want to talk about the mission is evangelism. Amen, amen. The mission is evangelism. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, to fully understand and appreciate the subject, one must comprehend the word mission as it relates to the body of Christ. I know that we hear the word mission bantered around. The military, when they go out on a mission. I remember Mr. Phelps used to go out on impossible missions. Yeah, mission impossible. Amen. And then there's the great Aunt Susie, whose mission is to get her granddaughter married. It's a mission in life. Amen. But that's not the mission that we're talking about. That's a mission. But we're talking about the mission. Amen. First of all, let's discuss what mission is not. What mission is not. Mission is not just ladies of the church who are clothed in white dresses. I know many of us have fooled ourselves and we say the mission society, and we refer simply to the ladies, and we see that as an auxiliary and not an action group. In fact, it was so amazing, the women in action came to me and said, Pastor, we want to change our name. We want to be Women in Action. And you know, that's a mighty fine thing to be in action. Amen. When we recognize what God has ordained for us to do. But Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Better translated, they are the children of God. When we understand that the desire of our Heavenly Father is that there would be children in the family. Amen. He planted a seed, His Son, that we would have a family. Amen. And then He gave us the Great Commission to go out and invite those to come into the family. I would have you to note that the mission is not a gender issue, but rather it is a spiritual commandment. Now I need to say that again. It is not a gender issue, but rather it is a spiritual commandment. God has commanded us to be witnesses for Him. He says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And then He gives geographic locations, starting where you are, and then fanning out to all places. Amen, amen. Number two, mission is not a group of the church ladies going over and cleaning somebody's house. Now, that's a good deal. Amen, particularly if you're the one who's getting your house cleaned. Amen, that's a good thing. But it is not mission unless, during the course of doing what you do, you tell them about Jesus. Then it can become a mission when we tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. But what I want us to know is the mission is to be a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, that person is a new creature, a new creation. The old things things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. The mission is to share the good news of Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When we understand that God has a way of using human instrumentality to let somebody know about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. That men and women, boys and girls can have lives that are made better. Amen. Do you realize that even I don't want to be a church member. Amen. But if you were a follower of Christ, your life is better. Amen. And when you come to him, you will want to become a member of his body. Because in fact, that's who you are. Have I got a witness? Amen, amen. We need to know that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we need to understand, number one, that man was separated from God because of sin. Amen. Not only the Adamic sin that occurred in the Garden of Eden, but it's your sin and it's my sin. Amen. If we say we have no sin, then we're calling the Lord a liar. Amen. We have to know that sin separates. God has a way of getting us back together through his Son, the Lord Jesus. What our task is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to let someone know that God is not mad at them. Amen, 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 amen. Jesus has made it possible that the wrath of God was poured out on him. And we now can have the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can live a better life simply because the Holy Spirit indwells you. I wish I had somebody here. Amen. You have been taught at Friendship that there are four matters to consider when we look at Scripture. And they are context. Amen. Let's look at the context here in verse number 19. Consider the context. Who is speaking? Amen. Who is speaking? Well, if you're looking at it and you've got one of the red letter editions, you know that that's the Lord Jesus speaking. And the Lord is saying, number one, amen, that he is the one that has all authority. Verse 18. And because he has all authority, he's in a position to where he can delegate us to work on his authority. But not only is he sending us out to carry the good news, but he's given us the power to be able to do it. Amen, amen. Do you realize for some people they want to witness, but they will get close to folk and all of a sudden they get like Hambone. Now see, most of you are too young to know about Hambone. Hambone said when he stood up, his thoughts said, I'm. You know, we want to witness, but all of a sudden the words won't come out. But when the Holy Ghost gives you that power, you can easily tell them that, yes, Jesus is real. Amen. Somebody needs to know that he's real, and he's real in my life. Amen. It's not enough to talk about him in the abstract, that he's out there somewhere. No, he's somewhere, and he's in you, and he's in me. Amen. That's the advantage that we have when Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always. Amen. Now, you realize that when Jesus was here, he was limited by time and space. Mm-hmm. If he was in Jerusalem, he couldn't be in Capernaum. Can I go here? Amen. If he was in Capernaum, he could not be in Decapolis. Amen. But with the advent of the Holy Spirit, amen, he indwells us. He's on the inside of us, and he's everywhere at the same time in everybody that is a believer. Amen, amen. And the Holy Ghost comes that we would have life, and that life more abundantly. Amen. Jesus, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, amen, he is the one who's speaking. Now, when Jesus speaks, he is better than E.F. Hutton. Now, for those who don't know about E.F. Hutton, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Amen. But when Jesus speaks, you better listen. Amen. Because he's got something to say. Oh, yeah, he's got something to say. Now, we said context. Well, number one, who's speaking? Number two, who is being spoken to? Now, I want you to see in this text that Jesus is not only speaking to the 11 that he met on the mountain, but he's talking to his disciples of all ages. That would include both you and I. He's telling us that we are to be witnesses for him. Amen, amen. The disciples of all ages are commissioned to be witnesses for and of the resurrected Christ. That when I understand that the witnesses are operating under the delegated authority of the Lord Jesus, I understand that he is empowering me to tell somebody about Jesus. And everybody needs to know about Jesus. Amen. Not only do you need to know about him, you need to know him. Amen. In the Greek, that word genesco means to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Amen. You see, it's easy to know about him, but you need to know him. He needs to be in your life. We have a tendency to want to look at the preacher funny when he tells you, you need Jesus in your life. You know, I know that the macho man wants to feel like I'm able to make it by myself. I don't need anybody. Let me tell you something. Everybody needs the Lord. Amen, amen. You were designed to have a relationship with him. And if he's not in your life, there is something missing that cannot be filled with anything else. Oh, yeah, we try to fill it with a whole lot of stuff. Amen. But it will never be what God has ordained for it to be. Amen. If you've got in your church bulletin, we talked about the mission is evangelism. And in it, we talked about there are many programs, activities, and social function ministries are prevalent in the modern church. And too often, there is not a passion for the lost. We as the people of the church, we are busy. We are doing a whole lot of stuff, but we have forgotten to put the first thing first. Amen, amen. The first thing he says is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Yeah, we are a busy people, and I have no problem with us being busy people. However, as we say in From the Pastor's Desk, we must focus on mission. Amen. The programs and ministries are important and they are needful. But the mission is most important. You're talking about the souls of men and women. Amen. When you don't tell them about the good news that God has made it possible that they can be reconciled to him, that he can give them new lives for old, amen, then they are missing something, and you have not carried out the mandate that the Lord has given to you. And I want us to see it personally, that the Lord has given me this task. It is not just the women who come and meet on Wednesdays. I want us us to see every person who says that they are a Christian. And by the way, when you say you're a Christian, you realize that you put Christ first in your name. When you're saying you're a Christian, you're saying, I am, by mandate, an evangelist. I want to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Lives that are being lived apart from Christ, but lives that are missing something. But when a person comes to the Lord Jesus, amen, there is the fullness of joy. Amen, amen. So who's speaking? Jesus. Who is being spoken to? The disciples of all ages. Amen. What is being said? What are the instructions? Notice what he says, and I tell us this all the time. He tells us four things. He tells us to go. And when I understand that when he tells me to go, amen, that is an imperative. Amen. I am to go and tell somebody. Amen. We try too often to witness to folk who are already in the house. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen. You need to reach some of those folk who are not coming to the house. And they're not going to come unless it's CME. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Amen. We're big on CME. I thought somebody has to die. But how about you telling them when you're at the supermarket, when the Lord provides the opportunity? And you know the Holy Spirit has a way of doing that. You're talking to somebody, and they will tell you about their frustrations, and you can tell them how the Lord can work, help them work through their frustrations, that he's better than taking Valium. Amen. That when you let the Lord come in your life, he brings a peace that you can't find anywhere else. Amen, amen. He will open up the opportunity. We just simply need to go. Then he tells us we're to make disciples. Now, I realize we can't save anybody, but we can point folk to him who does the saving. Amen. Can you tell somebody about the Lord Jesus, that he's still in the saving business? And by the way, he's still in the healing business. Some of us have forgotten that the Lord is still a healer. I wish I had somebody here. Amen. When he died on the cross, he provided healing, and he tells us, appropriate it to your life. Amen, amen. I realize that he gives the doctors of this world the knowledge to do great things, but the healing comes from the inside. God is the healer. Amen, amen. God is a savior. God is a healer. Now, I want to emphasize healer because you got a lot of folk that sin sick. And sin sick is a malady that only, amen, the doctor can prescribe, amen, amen, something for that. Amen, only Jesus can handle sin sickness. Hallelujah. But make disciples, amen, make disciples, amen. We share the good news, and men and women, boys and girls will know that there is a better way to live. That when God comes into their life, he changes that life and he gives it purpose. But more than that, they're on their way to heaven. Now, if you think about it, if going to heaven was all there was in being a Christian, then when you got saved, you could just go ahead and die and go on to heaven. But he has a purpose for you. Amen. Because everybody is not saved. And you're the instrumentality that's going to help somebody get saved. God works through human instrumentalities. Make disciples. Share with them the good news. Let them know that they cannot go so low that God can't meet them where they are. And don't you know the God that we serve? Amen. He loves us too much to leave us in that kind of a condition. Amen, amen. You know, I always marvel at the Bible talks about Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord called amazing for her. And she had a devotion for him. Amen. She was at the sepulcher early in the morning, and when she saw him, grabbed his feet. Amen. That's when you really love the Lord. Amen. I know that we got a problem grabbing any feet now. Amen. Amen. We used to talk about washing feet. Now ain't no washing feet now. No, no, no. Make disciples. And then number three, we need to disciple the disciples. Do you realize that there are many who come to church really don't know much about the Lord as they think they know? As Brother Bruce said, I'm going to let that marinate. Amen, 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 amen. Because folk will say, the Lord said, and the Lord no more said that than the man in the moon. Amen. Amen. You write your own Bible, the Lord said. No, the Lord said what he said, but we need to know what he said. And then we need to know the context in which he said. Amen, amen, amen. So what we're looking at is the third of the four contexts. What are the instructions? What did the Lord say? What's the message? Amen. He says that we are to disciple the disciples. People need to know that they know. The Bible said the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. Do you realize that for many people, their lives could be so much better here socially if they did things God's way? Amen. God says, if you will tithe, I will open up the windows of heaven. Now, only a dummy would not want God to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Do you realize the context of pouring? Not just dropping. There's a constant flow. But you know what we say? I ain't giving that preacher nothing. Can I illustrate something? If you put something in your hand, and I've got some keys, and I'm going to put them. I put those keys in my hand and close it up. The keys won't go out, but nothing will come in. We have to learn that there to receive, we have to learn how to give. Amen. And I'm not here asking because I'm begging. I want to help you be all that God has ordained for you to be. Amen. Amen. Now, and I said earlier, a little bit facetiously, but when we have a smile on our face, you know, physiologically, it takes more muscle to frown than it does to smile. Amen. And when you start smiling, it's true, the world will smile with you. The Bible says, again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But see, more than that, amen, a merry heart is like medicine. Amen. God says if you just have a merry heart, it might be breaking, but you can still have a merry heart because as the song says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. When my mind is on Jesus, amen, amen, there is a joy that the world didn't give, and consequently the world can't take it away. Amen. With all that is going on in our society, you need something better than politics to hold on to. Amen. That's called faith. Amen. Faith and hope. You know, one of the things that I pray about, yo, this is my hooping today, because I want you to get this. One of the things that I pray about is expectation. Do you realize that for many of us, we don't have an expectation? Amen. And so if you don't expect anything, you're not disappointed when you don't get anything. But when we have a benediction, I say, Lord, it is my expectation when I get home, everything is fine. Lord, when I come to church, this is at home, when I come to church, it is my expectation that you are there and everything is going to be all right. Amen. You got to have an expectation. I expect something from the Lord. You know why? Because he promised it. Somebody has not discovered that our God is a promise-keeping God. People don't just say these things just to fill up this book. He gives us precious promises that we ought to live by. My people, if you were called by my name, if we would humble ourselves, you know, part of our problem is we don't know how to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. If you're going to be arrogant, don't be arrogant with God. Can I give you an object lesson here? Satan was arrogant with God. I'm going to make my seat above. You know what God did? Michael, take care of him. Just kicked him out of heaven. Amen. A little bit of humility would go a long way. Amen, amen. Our problem is we're so arrogant. The Lord said, humble yourself. Amen. So we disciple the disciples. We let them know what God expects of them. Amen. And then number four, and I know you know this is a blessing, when you know that his perpetual presence is with us. Amen. He's with us because he's omnipresent. Because as the Holy Spirit, he indwells us. Amen. Where I go, the Holy Ghost goes. That's why you can't hardly take the Holy Ghost to the Joe's Bar and Grill, can you? When we think about, amen, this number four, what are the instructions? We have to know this, that God has given us the power to witness. Amen. And when I understand the power that has been given by the Holy Spirit to witness, it involves courage, boldness, confidence, insight. Let me stop there a minute, because I was at Kelly's getting my usual takeout, and I'm sitting there, and a fella came and sat on the seat there. And I said, you got to have the insight to know, and they kind of open up, you start talking to them. It's amazing what can happen out of a conversation. But you got to be, you know, you can't be just sitting there looking up and saying, God, we should hurry up, because the Lord just give us enough time for me to talk to him. And if you don't, you've got the insight to know that there is a longing in this person. The reason they're acting foolish is because they need something solid to hold on to. Can I go back over those again? Courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and the authority. Amen. Now you recognize that in dealing with some folks, it's going to take some boldness. But have you noticed, and I'm certainly not slamming anybody, but have you noticed the boldness of these people who come with Watchtower in a way? They don't mind getting in your face. And we are talking about the creator of the universe. And we back up on talking about him. We ought to be able to get in their face and say, yes, Jesus is real. What can I tell them? I ought to be able to tell them, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Now, this Jesus knew no sin, but he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Amen. I, on my best day, will never be good enough. But what God has done, he recognized my shortcomings, and he has given me the Holy Spirit, amen, to operate in righteousness. And number four, and I'm done almost. I'm talking about context. How long is the assignment? Amen. Do you not know that mission should continue until Jesus returns? Amen. You should never stop telling folk about Jesus. There is a need for people to be saved until Jesus returns. Now, let me just share this with you. When he comes back, amen, if you haven't been saved, it's too late. Amen. You're on the housetop, just stay on the housetop. Amen. He has made it possible. Every Sunday you come, you hear preaching. You turn on television, you can hear preaching. You can come to midweek services. You can hear teaching. And so there is no reason that folk can't be saved. It's because people choose not to be saved. Out of all that God has done, folk refuse to accept what he has done for us. But I'm glad to, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I don't know whether that makes you happy or not, but it gives me a very severe case of the I can't help it. Amen. I want folk to know that God is real in my life. Amen. Amen. That does not mean that every day I'm not going to experience something. Amen. There will be ups and there will be downs. Amen. There are good things happen to bad people, and a lot of good things will happen to bad people, and bad things will happen to good people. The one thing that I know, that if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? Amen. I know that if God has placed his seal, and that's what the Holy Spirit is, it's a seal until Jesus comes back. I'm going to make myself happy when I start thinking about what God has done. Amen. The Holy Spirit indwelling me says, I am sealed until the day of deliverance. Amen. That when Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit says, I kept him for you. He's ready to go with you now. Amen. When I think about all that God has done for us. Amen. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't it something that if he loved us that much, and all he has for us to do is to believe in what he has done? Amen. I'm ready to tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that sitting in glory in eternity past, he realized that man would need a Savior. And he said, sacrifices won't get it. Amen. Under the old dispensation, amen, amen, there would be a sacrifice. Amen, amen. They would come once a year. They'd have two goats. One would be a sacrifice, and the other, they put the blood on that goat. And, amen, that was the scapegoat. And he would go out into the wilderness. That would take the sins away from the people. But there was no way that that could permanently take care of the sin problem. But the Jesus that I love, he loved me enough to come in human flesh. Amen. Because it was a sin, a man, amen, that fell in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, Garden of Eden. And it was a perfect man in the Garden of Gethsemane that redeemed us from our sins. Amen. Amen. The Jewish law said, like for like, eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. Amen. No man was found perfect. No man was able to redeem us from our sins. But Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, asked the Father, give me a body and I'll go down. I'll redeem man from his sin. And the Bible said he stepped through 42 purifying generations, born of a virgin and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Brother Peter said he went about doing good. Amen. Open up deaf ears and cut away stammering tongue. Amen. Gave sight to the blind and gave back the dead to their families. But the thing that was most noticeable about Jesus, it was on a Friday. The Bible said he put a cross on his shoulder, went up a hill called Golgotha. They nailed his hands and they riveted his feet. They stretched him wide and they dropped him low. The Bible said he died. He died, he died, he died for your sins and he died for my sins. But I want you to know that not only did he died to death. Have I got a witness? I realized that was a second death because I could hear him saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, there had never been a time in eternity past, nor in all of the time, that Jesus had been separated from the Father. But when he became sin, the Father had to turn his back on him. Oh, I feel that creature. Thank you.
Today. You might make peace with God through the Lord Jesus.